Proverbs chapter number 19, Proverbs chapter 19, and I'm going to try to keep things real simple tonight, Proverbs chapter 19, because if things get much beyond that, then I don't know what I'm doing. So just one verse here, and then we'll go over to the book of 1 Peter, Proverbs chapter 19, and just one verse here, verse number 12, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. The book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. And the Bible says there in verse number 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Amen. Now, this is, a very simple passage here in Proverbs chapter 19. And the Bible says, again, let me just read it to just kind of rehearse it in your ears for a minute. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. And we know who the king here is. The king here is Jesus Christ. Went over to 1 Peter chapter 1 to try to define who the grass is, and the grass is defined in 1 Peter chapter 1 as the flesh of man. And the king's wrath is as a roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. And we know the Lord, when it comes to the wrath of the Lord and the favor of the Lord, the favor of the king, it falls on the flesh of men, which is as grass. And the Bible says there in John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. And that wrath is very real today. But there's coming a day in the future, there's coming a day in eternity rather, where what you're going to have, you're either going to know throughout eternity the wrath of God or the favor of God. And you have someone that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, they're dying, they go to hell, they know the wrath of God throughout all eternity. And if you have someone that is saved and trusted Jesus Christ and all the things you go through here and the troubles and the trials and the tribulations, there's coming a time in the future where the only thing you're ever going to experience throughout eternity is the very favor of God. And boy, what a blessing that is. And when it comes, the Bible says the king, the wrath of the king is as the roaring of a lion. And we all know what the roaring of a lion. It's boy, if you want to scare somebody or scare some little kids, you know, that's a lot of fun. you want to scare some kids, you know, and you roar at them or holler at them, you know, and watch them get all scared. But the Bible says the wrath of God is it's like a roar. I've heard some men describe war, battles they've been in, and they talk about the roar of the battle. It's not just artillery being fired. It's when one advances against another and that roar. I couldn't imagine, you know, you're back in the days where you're meeting down on the field and, you know, you're 100 feet from each other and this one gets a chance to fire at that side and that side gets a chance to fire back, and then when that's done, you run at each other and that scream and that roar, you know. We've, you know, there's times where Brother Pilkington, you know, I could see him doing that, you know, getting up to preach and painting his face blue or something. You know, the roar of getting out into the battle and getting into the fight and ready to fight, and just that roar, we all understand. We know what that is. As a matter of fact, it's been said that war is God's judgment on sin here, and hell is God's judgment on sin hereafter. And there is, there's a lot of truth to that. But the roar doesn't stop with just the king. There's a roar of natural disasters as well. We have, as I said, that wrath can abide on man even now. And man endures some wrath of the Lord. There's some things that a natural man goes through that ought to make him stop, pause, and look up and realize there is a Creator, there is a God. God, would you show me the truth, right? And listen, you do that, God will one way or another. I remember one time I was in Papua New Guinea about 20 years ago, and I was over there, and I was one of the men there was asking him how he got saved. And he said, you know, I knew there was more to life than just trying to eat and live. But I didn't know anything much beyond that. And I'd heard all kind of stuff. And I'm walking through the jungle one day, and I seen a piece of paper, something do like that. And I stopped and picked it up. It was a tell it like it is track. What's the chance of that? You say, well, boy, he got lucky. No, lucky ain't got nothing to do with it. You say, in Papua New Guinea, and here he runs across in the jungle, a tell it like it is track, looks on the back of that thing, he just happened to work down at the port, goes to the port so he has access to a phone, calls the bookstore, and they send him a whole bunch of books and information. I'm walking up, as we walk up to meet him for the first time, I'll never forget it. There's a grass hut sitting there, and there's a guy on the steps of that grass hut, and he's reading Dr. Ruttman's manuscript evidence book in Papua New Guinea. Now, what's the chance of something like that happening? You say, well, that, listen, luck ain't got anything to do with it. We all know that there ought to be something about all that takes place that makes you look up to heaven and say, God, help! And God will help a sinner. Listen, he'll help a sinner and he'll help a saint. And we both know that. There's a roar of natural disasters. Brother Wilcox and Brother Walker they came out to our place and we had a tornado. And Brother Walker says, what do you do when a tornado comes through? And I said, well, we're going to go back here in the hallway and lay down and pray. That's about the only thing you can do. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a freight train coming through. It sounds like a roar. You can hear it going on, and you're saying, Lord, have mercy. That's the roar of that natural disaster, but I'm not going to preach on any of that tonight. What I want to preach on is the last part of this verse, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. And what I want to look at tonight for just a little while is God's favor. God's favor, just the Lord's favor. And I hope you can recognize the Lord's favor. You know, there's all kind of things we can glamorize. We can glamorize the wrath of God, right? We can sit there and envision in our minds. I can envision as you go down and you witness and you pass out tracts and you have those that curse God and make fun of God and mock God. And you say, one of these days, buddy, right? One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and out of His mouth is going to come a sharp two-edged sword and devour. And well, listen, we can glamorize the wrath of God. I hope you can somewhat envision that when it comes to God's favor. Just the favor that God Almighty showed upon a sinner in saving somebody like you and I. Boy, that's a strange thing, isn't it? God decides way back here before the foundation of the world that anybody that's going to be saved and anything that's going to be done is going to be done in my Son. Right? That's true predestination. Doesn't have anything to do with Calvinism. What's going to be done is going to be done in my Son. And then He decides, I'm going to set in motion the plan to get it done and to be able to get that sinner in my Son without me doing wrong. Well, I don't know how God works all that stuff out, but I know there's about 30-some things that take place the very moment you get saved. That's God's favor. Well, you begin to envision what it is that God did for a sinner when He saved us. We say it this way. We say, well, God forgave me of my sins. Yeah, God forgave you of your sins, but your sins still had to be paid for. See, that was the problem. The problem was we have a holy, righteous God who can't just say, oh, never mind. That's what we like to do sometimes. We just like to say, well, oh, never mind. And God can't do that. God says, this has to be paid for. This has to be done. And no one else is able to do it. I'll take care of it myself. Now, that's salvation. But we began to talk about the favor that God shows with salvation. How about the favor God shows with health? Now, I know, listen, I know us. We're prone to complain, right? You say, man, hey, you talk about health. And you hadn't walked in my shoes lately, right? I get up in the morning, I sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, and pop. Man, you get up, you know, it's, you know, now Used to be you jumped out of bed. You don't jump out of bed as you get older. You contemplate getting out of bed, you know. You set a strategy in motion, you know. Well, my head's laying this way this time, so I'm going to take this and I'm going to pull this back. And it goes nice and slow and easy. And you stand up, you get on the side of the bed, you stand up and you go, oh, you know. Why? Because I'm getting ready to move now. Well, there's a whole strategy. You say, man, I've got this going on and I got that going on. Well, most of us walked in the door. Right? Most of us, we can sit here and hear, and so when it comes to our health, boy, the Lord's sure shown a lot of favor when it comes to children, when it comes to family, when it comes to spouse. The Lord's shown a lot of favor. Most of us are sitting here tonight, and you probably kind of, well, the men probably didn't, but ladies had to decide, you know, decide what you want to wear, right? You probably didn't go over there and open the closet and there's one outfit in there and you really don't have to make a choice. But what is it? Well, that's just the favor of the Lord, right? You say, well, that's, listen, most of us have clothes and we have health and we have loved ones and we have family and we have friends and we have a good church to go to. That's the favor of the Lord. Tonight, probably when it comes to the favor of the Lord, it's one of the most least recognized things. There's times where even as a lost man will say, well, boy, I've sure been lucky in life. And sometimes I've heard Christians say the same thing. Right? Well, I've sure been lucky. And we have, there's always some that say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I've had troubles and I've been through troubles. I had a wife leave me. I had a husband leave me. I've had children that's gone wayward. I've had, this one's had cancer and this one's had different kind of illnesses and this one's had different kind of troubles. But through it all, as we heard sung this morning, God's still been good. And God has still shown, listen, the Lord has still shown His favor. And what the Lord says here when it comes to His favor, the Lord says His favor is as dew upon the grass. Now, to me, I don't know about you, that's kind of an odd thing to say. Dew is not really appreciated. Right? I enjoy a good thunderstorm. I think it's from being raised in Texas. And, the sound of rain. And so, man, it get rain. We kept two chairs at the shop door. We'd pull it out, sit down, just watch the rain come through. But at the house, I couldn't tell you how many times at the house I come home from work and it's pouring down rain. I walk in, I make me a good cup of coffee and go sit out on the front porch. And just that good cup of coffee and watch that rain come, the thunderstorms come, and the lightning, the wind begin to blow. Boy, I find it a great thing. I have never in my life taken a cup of coffee, went out on the front porch and said, I'm going to watch the dew come in. Right, it's just never really gotten my attention. Now, I know when it has gotten my attention, I've walked outside and you have your socks on and you get about six steps out in the yard and you go, oh, no. Right? They're soaking wet. You go back in, you're having to pull them off before you go in the house, and you got grass stuck between your toes and all that kind of stuff. You know, not something you're... Or how about when you leave your car windows down? Right? And the dew rolls in, and you that car window's down, and you don't even pay attention, and you walk in, and you set yourself down, and you go, oh, no, right? You're all wet, and it's all wet inside, and you happen to try to wipe the stuff off from the inside of the window as well as the outside of the window. I don't know that the dew's really appreciated all that much. But you know what the Lord said? The Bible says God's favor is as the dew. It's as the dew. I know this. I know it's important in arid regions. He says the king's favor is as the dew. Now, I don't know how you perceive when it comes to the favor of the Lord and when it comes to the blessings of God, but when I got saved, when most of us got saved, there wasn't some heavenly choir singing. Unless you got saved down at Jimmy Swaggart's or something, but there was no heavenly choir singing. You didn't really hear all that. When it comes to serving the Lord, I mean, most of us, when it comes to serving the Lord, all of a sudden, you didn't have a bunch of folks stand up, or you hear a bunch of folks go, "Hey, brother Chris is about to serve the Lord here. He's about to pass out a gospel tract. Go, brother, go, brother." You didn't hear all that. You know what most of you did? Most of you, it was just you trying to get over your own discomfort of having to get out of your comfort zone, and you're sitting there and you're going, "Oh man, what if they ask a question?" Right? And you give them a gospel tract and they say, "What is this?" And you go, I don't know. Just read it. Right? Well, you're so nervous you can't remember your own name. You're shaking like a leaf. And I'm just trying to serve the, I'm just trying to serve the Lord. That's all I'm trying to do. Listen, a lot of times when it comes to that kind of thing, you have to watch, because you get all these false expectations of serving the Lord. Same thing I know as a preacher. I remember one of the first sermons I ever preached in a church. And I was about 16 years old, and the preacher was gone on a Wednesday night, and he said, "Brother Friesen, I'm going to have you preach." And I said, "Okay." And I got up there and preached, and boy, I'd preached. I preached everything I knew from Genesis to Revelation, and about 6 minutes into the sermon, I was done. that's about how long it took. I gave my testimony. I preached everything I knew from Genesis to Revelation, and I was done. I was leaving right here, and of course, one of the men come up, "Amen, brother, amen, brother, that's good. Amen, brother, appreciate that." And there's a little lady here, and she's long passed on. She walks up to me and she says, "Well, at least you're young and you had a lot of time to improve, because you're going to need it." Amen. That was one true one right there. Sometimes you get some false expectations of what's going on. You can't do that when it comes to serving the Lord, because all of us, we got, I hate to say this, but a lot of us got a lot of charismatic in us. Right? We like the grand and the showy. Oh, come on, yeah, we seen God move in. Well, how faithful are you going to be when you don't see that? Yeah, right? A lot of times we want to see that, and I know this. I haven't seen much of that in a Christian life. I hadn't seen much of it. We were living up in Tennessee, and I had a preacher friend of mine was pastor of the church about 30, 40 miles south of where we lived. And he said, "Brother, I'm wanting to go down to the blowout." And he said, "I was wondering if you'd come preach for me." And he said, "Now listen," he said, "my folks know I'm going to be gone, so a lot of them probably won't show up." And I said, "All right." He said, "Well, the key's under the mat, the front door. Just help yourself. I appreciate it." And he told me what time services were. Sunday school was at 10 o'clock, main service at 11 o'clock. So I get there and take the key out, and I walk in, and I'm looking around. I get things kind of set up. And I know it's a small church, and I'm kind of waiting around. It's 10 o'clock now, and I'm not seeing anybody. And now it's about 10:15. And I said, "Well, I guess I'll just get up and talk to myself." And so I got up and got my stuff, and I said, "Well, I'll just kind of practice the sermon for the next hour and see if anybody shows up." And so I did just that, and I sat back down, and I'm standing out there looking out the doors, you know. I know this is the right church. The key was under the mat. And about 11 o'clock, two little ladies came in, right? And they come in, and I'm, "Good morning, good morning." He comes in, "Hey," he says, "anybody else coming?" "You never know." Okay. She walks in, walks up to the piano. She says, "You got the songs picked out yet?" Sure. And about that time, here comes another one. She sits down right there, and it's just three of us. And we got done singing, and I did my two specials, and she went and sat down, and I got up and preached. You say, "Boy, that must have been disappointing." No, it wasn't disappointing. I used to, when I was growing up, I could preach to chickens, man. And there's two people that sat there and listened to you. Right? You got to be careful of the expectations. See, sometimes you get all these things going on in your head the way you think the Christian life ought to be, and it doesn't always fit our expectations. First thing I want you to notice about this in verse number 12 says, "But his favor is as dew on the grass." Now, I know this. Dew's quiet. Dew is quiet. I was sitting in the house. I can be sitting in the house, and all of a sudden I sit back and go, "It's raining." And you hear that boom, that thunder crash, and it storm's rolling in. Boy, you step out and you can feel that temperature drop about 15 degrees and you feel that cool breeze going. I'm going, oh man, this is good, right? Get that cup of coffee and sit out on the front porch and you'll watch that storm just roll in. Boy, that's a great thing. Just watch that thing roll in and the storm and everything begins to start and the rain comes down. Boy, it's something else. But dew's not like that. Dew is quiet. It's quiet. I got saved October the 1st, 1978. It was about 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. Ran in the living room and got saved between the couch and the coffee table. My dad was asleep, laying back in a chair, and I come running in there. I got to get saved. Just realized that I didn't know where I was going to spend eternity. And he got up and he took his Bible and he put it down, got his Bible and he put it down on the coffee table. And it's just him and I. And he walked me right through the Romans Road. And I knelt down right there between that couch and coffee table and remembered just as plain as day and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me, realizing what a sinner I was. Bawling like crazy. And got all done. My dad looked at me and he says, "Well, probably need to go in the bathroom and wash your face, son." Okay. I can still remember going in there and washing my face. And I'm sitting there and I never turned the light on. The light was still on in the hallway. And I'm sitting there and I'm splashing water on my face. And I looked up. Whew, I'm saved. Oh, what a blessing. You say, "What'd you do after that?" I went to bed. Didn't think too much about it, right? For most of us, that's how salvation is. Listen, you can have rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance, but I didn't get to hear it. Right. Been nice to kind of hear that heavenly entourage begin to sing, but all I heard was, "Go in the bathroom, son, wash your face." Right? Go in there and splash a little water in your face, head back and go to bed. Salvation's like that. It's the dew is, it, when that dew lays down, you don't hear it come. It's quiet. It's quiet. I mean, it's salvation's quiet. There's even for many, there's not a huge sense of a lot of burden being lifted. I remember reading Pilgrim's Progress, and boy, he comes up to the cross, and the heavy burden of sin rolls away. And for some, you stand up and you go, "I think I did everything right." I know as a pastor, you come up and you'll have somebody, you want to go back and you maybe take them back in a room and you talk to them for a little while and they say, "Yeah, I want to get saved." And you get down and get saved and you go, "You know what, I'd like to see at least a tear or two." Right? I mean, maybe if I preach to them for a little while, that'll make things a little better. But it's not always, listen, it's not always like that. God's favor, here he says it's like the dew on the grass. He didn't say it's like a cyclone. Didn't say his favor's like an earthquake. Now his wrath is as a roaring of a lion, but his favor is something else. If I was to ask a Christian here tonight, I said, "Do you want God's favor upon you?" "Oh, amen, I sure do." "Well, I couldn't imagine living without having God's favor on me." And I say, favor is like the dew. It's like, what? Well, it's quiet. You don't really hear it. I mean, there's no rushing mighty wind, right? That already took place. There's no blowing of trumpets. And sometimes when it comes to God's favor, it's easy to take for granted because it's just so subtle. Sometimes we don't even realize it, right? So it's just so subtle. Sometimes I'd like to see a little more of that fire fall like it did for Elijah. I mean, call down fire from heaven and showing, that's God showing his favor to Elijah over them prophets of Baal. That's God showing him his favor. "Hey, God, show me your favor." And all of a sudden you begin to feel the earthquake and you begin to see all that thunderstorm roll in. And I got out there and I'm standing there with a cup of coffee going, I got God's favor. And God didn't work like that. He says, "My favor's like the dew." And do is, listen, it's quiet. It's quiet. I mean, it's, for me, after problems I've gone through and troubles I've gone through and heartaches, I step back and I, "Lord, you said you're going to help. And I stepped back and I began to see something on the ground. And began to look around, and you see all the dew, and you begin to see God's favor. And you say, I missed that. I missed that. Listen, it's that dew, it is as the favor of God. See, when I got saved, it was real simple. When the Apostle Paul got saved, he got knocked down and blinded. But I don't think that happened to anybody in here. It's a little more quiet, right? I mean, I've kind of used the illustration already, but George Whitefield, at the time when George Whitefield was preaching, he was more well-known than another George named George Washington. More people in the United States knew who George Whitefield was than they knew who George Washington was. And George Whitefield was up preaching, and they said one time, as I said, that all of a sudden the clouds get dark, and in the middle of it he holds his Bible up, and that ray of sunlight comes down, and it lands right on his Bible and right on him. That's a pretty good testament, right? Well, it kind of be hard for the sun to shine through here. It's quiet, right? It's quiet. I mean, John Wesley, he had a whole lot of enemies. And they're trying to shut him up all the time. And one of the things they did was they turned a mean bull loose on him. And that bull, they said, ran right up to him and stopped and turned around and ran the other way. You know what would have happened if that would have been me? I'd been in a hospital. That's what. Yeah, you say, man, I've never had anything like that. Be standing there preaching, and all of a sudden, what looks like is going to be a disaster, and everybody goes, and they say, boy, John Wesley, he has the favor of God. Boy, he has a favor of God. I've preached a number of sermons and pastored a few years now, but never in my life have I gotten up. And the eyes been so bad, they're getting worse, and eyes been so bad that I just had to stoop over and read. And as I read my message, sinners stood up and screamed out in agony and grabbed hold of the pews in front of them and screamed and said, God, save a sinner like me. But they did for Jonathan Edwards. Right? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. So you see, the favor of God, dew is quiet. Another thing about dew, the process is, most of the time, it's undiscernible. Dew has a way of condensing on the grass. I mean, you get the temperature up real good, and you get the humidity up where it ought to be, and that dew point gets settled, and the process of it and how it all works, all of a sudden, most of the time, just walk out there and there it is. It's largely undiscernible. As I said, sometimes we'd like to see more of the Red Sea crossing, right? I mean, listen, I love to hear stories of some saint that come down with some illness and God just decided to take that thing away. Boy, it encourages the heart. But when it comes to His favor, I mean, it'd be a lot simpler if God just put that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire and all you had to do was just follow the Lord, right? Because you could see. But you know what you're sitting there holding in your hands tonight? You're holding the Lord willing, the King James Bible. Amen. And parts of that Bible was written 2,000 and 3,000 years ago. And we can sit down and we can go through church history, and we can go through Bible history, but the way that that book came to you and I, a lot of the process is undiscernible. See, there's some things it came from here, and it came to here, and it went down from here, and this line goes down this way, but exactly how it is, and a lot of the times the way the Lord worked in men, in order for you and I to be able to take this book and sit here now, over 3,000 years later, some of it over 3,000 years, and be able to sit there and hold that in your lap, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, every word, every abbreviation, every comma is exactly how it ought to be and ought not be changed in any way. Amen. You say, how did that happen? You say, well, I can, you know, the way a lot of it happens, most of it's not really discernible. You ever wonder how it is that you got to where you're at tonight? Listen, a lot of times we got to where we are and we can look back here. I left home when I was 17 years old and decided I knew everything and found out I didn't know anything. And left home. And once you left home, there wasn't any coming back. And boy, I wished I could have come back. But left home early, and I began to look, and I said, how is it that I wound up from here to here? When I got out of Bible school, I just wanted to do something for the Lord, and we're sitting there at graduation day, and Dr. Ruttman gets up there, and he says, hey, some of you, I know, wanting to help a preacher. Here's a preacher needs help. Somebody wanting to go help somebody, raise your hand. So I raise my hand, and I'm about halfway. He says, here, brother, come down here and get this. And he says, looks like he's from Texas. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, heading back to Texas. Living in Eugene, Oregon. I went, oh, no. And so I wound up going from Texas to Florida to Eugene, Oregon. And we're up there for about 3 years. And I wound up going up and helping in a men's home for a while, which wound us up going from Oregon to Washington all the way to Tennessee. And then I was out in Tennessee and decided it's time that just the Lord had shut some other things down. And I just didn't feel up to that time that I was prepared to step in as a pastor. And I said, Lord, if you're ready, I think I'm ready. And the Lord opened up some doors and wound up moving from Tennessee to Missouri. And there's times I sit there and kind of scratch my head. And I say, how did all that happen? You know, I know a lot of times the process isn't quite discernible. And sometimes the time wasn't ready and the person wasn't ready. And then all of a sudden you sit there and you scratch your head. Hey, for me, the ministry, it wasn't a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and a 20-year plan. It was the favor of God. Lord, I don't want in this thing if I can't have your favor. And the favor of the kings like the dew on the grass. And the process, listen, with all the troubles and the problems and the issues that arise, sometimes we forget to see the dew that's laying on the ground. I know this about dew. Dew is not only is the process many times undiscernible, the dew, it's refreshing. It's refreshing. I mean, in the latter days, we know perilous times are going to come, and what you need is a refreshing. That's the purpose of a meeting like this. It's to celebrate 100 years. That's coming up. It's to celebrate 80 years of God's favor and showing favor upon Calvary Baptist Church. Listen, we need some refreshing as well. And dew is refreshing. The Bible likens us to two things. He likens us in Psalm chapter 1 to trees planted by the rivers of water. And we know that them rivers of waters is a word of God. And he also likens us to grass, which we read in 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I know when it comes to trees and when it comes to grass, both of those things can dry up. Right? I mean, all of a sudden, I know in Texas, where we are, you get about July somewhere. Texas, I think it's more like April. But you get back in July, down in July somewhere, and you walk out on that grass, and it's just crunch, 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 right? I remember when we first moved up to Oregon, everything was green. I went from Texas to Florida, and then we move up there, and it's green. And we had a man in the church and invited us over to a barbecue, and I'm sitting there looking at his yard. It looked like a piece of green carpet. And he's looking at it, and he said, I got to go in the house to get something. And he went in the house, and I laid down in the grass and just kind of rolled around. I looked like a dog out there. But it was, man, I'd never seen anything like this. Boy, it's nice. I mean, just laying there in that nice, plush, green grass. We don't have stuff like this in Texas, right? What is it? Well, I know both of them, if you're not careful, it can dry up. Look at Deuteronomy. Hold your hand there real quick. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And not going to do a lot of turning here, but Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And so what we need at times, we need some refreshing. Here Moses says there in verse number 2, he says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. You know what it's like? It's like the dew. Elijah prophesying of the wrath of God, he says, there shall be no rain nor dew. And he gives it for these years. You know, sometimes if you're not careful, you forget about the dew. You forget about the very favor that God bestows upon us. The king's favor, the Bible says, is as the dew. Israel was prone to forget that. Look over, if you will, at Exodus chapter number 16. Exodus chapter 16. God showed favor to His people. And in showing favor to His people, this is what He did. Exodus chapter 16, you know this story well. And verse number 14 says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. Now the Lord gives another description of this in Numbers, Numbers chapter number 11, and we know that that's manna. And this is the way the Lord laid that manna out in Numbers chapter number 11, and He says down in verse number 9, He gives a description of what the manna is, there in verse 7 and verse number 8. And verse number 9 says, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. You know what Israel went on to say? They went on to say, we loathe this light bread. We're sick of this bread. Give us some flesh to eat. You know what Israel never realized? Israel never realized God went out there and in His favor He laid the dew down. And then right on top of that dew, He put the manna. The Lord prepared a table in the wilderness. And He says, I'm going to show you my favor. And Israel never realized it. Israel never realized. Sometimes we don't see that. But the dew, listen, dew is refreshing. I also know this real quickly. The dew is, it's predictable. Now, it's not a candy machine. Listen, God's favor. You don't walk up to God and go, yes, I'll take two bits of favor today and one of these Dr. Peppers. It doesn't work that way. It's not a candy machine that you dispense things from. If the weather is right, most of the time the dew's predictable. You better make sure your windows are rolled up because of the way the temperature was, the humidity is up where it is, probably going to have some dew in the morning, right? It's largely predictable. I know God does things by precepts. When God does something, according to Isaiah, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. The Bible says, if I wait patiently for the Lord, He'll incline His ear unto me, right? But you know what He does? He tells you how to wait. He says if you wait, He'll renew your strength. He'll renew your strength. He says if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What the Lord does, the Lord lays down some precepts on how things ought to be done. And the Lord says, now listen, if you do these things here, I'll show you my favor. Most of us, I would say tonight, we're seeking God's favor in our life. We say it this way. You say, if you sow, you're going to reap. Now, you know what that is? That's predictable. If you sow to the flesh, ye shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit, you're going to reap, right? You're going to reap life everlasting. Now, it's largely predictable. It doesn't mean you walk up to God and say, listen, I've done this, 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 and this. That means I deserve these things. No, that's not the way it is. But if He's going to show you His favor, it's largely predictable. He'll come by and He'll say, because you've done this, 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 and this, just the way I told you to do it. Just as He told Solomon, Solomon, if you do this like your father did, this is what I'm going to do for you. And if not, you know what that is? That's predictable. You know what I want? I want the Lord's favor. That's what I want. I know this. I know if you follow through the Bible, if you follow through with what the Lord says, He'll follow through on His promises. And it's predictable. There's another thing about dew, and I'll kind of put a few of these together real quick. Dew has a way of condensing on cooler surfaces. You ever notice it's the windows that always catch the dew first? Just the way that is because it's cooler surfaces. I know the flesh is grass, and it likes to get worked up about things. That's the way this flesh is. Sometimes, you ever have somebody just go off on you and you can't even figure out what the problem is? I've had people at work come up to me and just all upset and mad, and I'm going, hey, listen, just take about two steps back here because I can't even tell what the problem is. I can't. So-and-so was down here, and basically they used my nail gun and didn't bring my nail gun back to me. Really? And that's the reaction of it? Why don't you just walk over there and ask them if they have it and get it back? It isn't that big a deal, right? Dew has a way of condensing on cooler surfaces. And what you and I, we know we're not supposed to respond to things the way the world does. The world has a way of getting you all worked up. I mean, it can get you worked up about politics. It can get you worked up just about anything. And our response to what's going on ought not be the way the world is. The world has a way of working itself up into a frenzy, and then what irritates them is when you don't respond the way they're responding. And you know why you don't respond the way they're responding? Because you want the favor of the Lord. And that has a way of condensing on some cooler surfaces. Some cooler surfaces. I mean, when it comes to desires and wants, it's not having anything to do with the fads and cares of this world. It's with what the Lord wants. Because we want His favor. We want His favor. Most of the time, when it comes to dew, it has to be still for the dew to fall. They can't have any wind blowing. Just nice, cool, calm, and still. You know what the Lord says? He says, be still and know that I'm God. Well, sometimes the Lord wants you to just stop and be still. But Lord, I got this going on, I got that going on, I got to do this. And the Lord says, slow down. Just stop. Be still. Why? Well, we want His favor. We want His favor. I mean, there's a lot to being still and calm and stable and consistent and faithful. You know what it is? It's just continually doing what you know you ought to be doing. Just cool, calm. We say it this way, cool, calm, and collected, right? Just being faithful. Two more and I'm done. When it comes to dew, dew's seasonal. It doesn't fall all the time. See, a lot of times when it comes to the Lord's favor, we want God's favor to fall on us constantly. And dew is seasonal. It has cycles to it. I mean, it's when it comes to a church like this right here. Here we are, we're celebrating 80 years. You know what I know about a church? Church has times it does this right here. We call it ups and downs, right? You say, I don't like ups and downs when it comes to church. I want things to just be steady. Now, if you're in a hospital and you're laying on a machine and they're trying to tell whether you're dead or alive, they're looking for this right here because when they see that steady line, you're dead. Right? That's just the way things go. They want to see that consistent. You know, I know about the favor of God. It comes in seasons. It comes in cycles. And sometimes God comes in and boy, that favor is right there. You ever have some preacher come in and then all of a sudden they come up to Brother Walker and they say, oh, Brother Walker, that was some good preaching. Never heard preaching like that. And Brother Walker goes, really? Because I preached that same sermon about 2 months ago. Right? Now, I know how that is. And he said, I can remember preaching it that Sunday morning. And everybody sat there like this. Right? Why? It has seasons and cycles to it. And sometimes that's just the way things are. For a Christian, listen, we ought to be good and there ought to be moderation that's involved. However, I know sometimes you feel strong and sometimes you're weak. Sometimes you're encouraged. Sometimes you're discouraged. Sometimes you're discouraged. Sometimes the conditions aren't right for the dew to fall. See, the conditions have to be right. The person has to be right. This has to be right. And all of a sudden when the conditions are right, the favor of the Lord comes in. And God, listen, we're not talking about the promises of God. That's something else. When it comes to favor of God, the conditions have to be right. And the favor of God comes in. And the Lord just lays that thing down nice and calm like the dew of the grass. But the conditions had to be just right. Conditions had to be right. Lastly, look, if you will, at Micah chapter number 5. And we'll close with this one right here. Micah chapter number 5. And Micah chapter number 5, look down, if you will, at verse number 2. He says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that shall be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old everlasting." That's good. Verse number 2. Now go down to verse number 7, because I can't write too well. It says, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as dew from the Lord, as showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men." You and I know about dew. Dew falls in considerable volume, whether you realize it or not. Sometimes you go out there and you see that dew on the grass, and you say, "Man, I hope the sun hurries up and comes out and dries this stuff up." Right? And the whole time, the Lord's water and the Lord's refreshing. But there's a lot there. There's a lot more there than you realize. And that's what the Lord's telling the children of Israel here. The children of Israel here, it's a type of the favor that awaits you. You know the strange thing about dew? The Lord doesn't always just drop it on one here and one there. You ever walk out in your yard? I remember I preached this some time ago, and you walk out in the yard. And you look at that dew and you say, "Lord, you sure have been good to me. Boy, Lord, look at that. Look at the favor of the Lord." And then I go, "My neighbor has that dew as well. What's he doing with the dew over there?" And then I look down the road and this one has it over here and this one has it over here. And I get in the truck and I drive down a little ways and it's that way for miles. I thought it just fell on me. You and I know about the dew of the Lord. Do of the Lord, there's a lot more of the favor of God than you realize. We say it this way: "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You know what the Lord says? The Lord says, the favor of God says the dew. It may not seem like much. It may be real quiet. But you hadn't seen anything of what awaits you. You hadn't seen anything of what awaits you. Listen, it's just a small amount of what awaits you. If you're saved. You know what I want? I want the King's favor. Amen. Now look, we look around here 80 years. You know what you've seen in 80 years? You've seen a lot of the Lord's favor. Boy, you've seen a lot of the Lord's favor. A lot of it was just still calm, cool things that most people never paid attention to. You know what it was? It was Sunday school classes, kids that just got taught. It was things that got built and things that got done and things that got maintained and things that you were consistent in. And you look back and you go, how did we get from there to here? Well, I can tell you, it was the Lord's favor. And the Lord comes in and He lays that dew down. Now, you know what you better be careful of? You better be careful of being like the children of Israel. And the Lord come in and He lays down that tablecloth of dew. And He puts bread right there on that dew. And they walk out there and go, "I don't want that." Now, you know what I want? I want the Lord's favor. I want the Lord's favor. A lot of times the Lord has to remind me. I say, "Oh, Lord, what is this?" And the Lord says, "Oh, that's me being good to you. Don't complain." Right? Remember sitting down at the table and Mom spent all that time in the kitchen. And you sit down at the table and you look at it. And you look up and she goes, "Duh." Right? You know what that is? That's me being good to you. And you better not complain at all. What the Lord does, the Lord prepares. And the Lord just lays that dew down and He shows the favor. And a lot of times we miss it because we're looking for the roar. And that's not the favor of the Lord. You know what this is? This is a testament to the Lord just laying that dew down on the ground and saying, "If you do this, I'll bless you." And a lot of it, you don't even see. A lot of it's not even discernible. And the Lord just says, "I've prepared a table for you. Didn't we just eat earlier today? I prepared a table for you. Brother Walker's going to come up here, if the Lord tarries, Wednesday night. And he's going to come up here Sunday, and he's going to take, and he's going to open up this book, and he's going to go, got a meal prepared. There's going to be Sunday school teachers that step in the back and them kids come in, and sometimes they don't want to be there. Sometimes they had bad things going on and they sat there, and that Sunday school teacher is going to get up there and he or she's going to open up the Word of God and go, got a meal prepared for you. They may not even realize the very favor that God bestows. But boy, the Lord sure has been good. Amen. Sure has been good.